3, 2, 1.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It is Commissioner Cooper, and it's time for TSS Fantasy. Boom.
That's what it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Commissioner Cooper, and it's time for TSS Fantasy.
Yeah!
like the twin brothers tonight, indeed, hitting it right on point. Welcome in, guys. We are in Houston, Texas. We were in Texas earlier this summer vacation for Dallas. Now we're in Houston. Exciting. I mean, Nick's on location. We're so clean in Houston tonight. Let's get things started because we got a busy show, got good guests. Welcome in Justin Jesus Herrera.
Yes, sir. We're good to be in Southeast Texas. I love this area. You know, you got to love it. You're down in where the alligators are. You're in Houston. You're just a stop away from New Orleans, everything. But the big thing is it's TSS Fantasy time. Let's go. Let's liven it up because Houston Texans, sometimes, you know, that can be an unlively subject sometimes.
Indeed. Especially when you have a pen clicking nonstop. Also, welcome into the studio, Nick, you got Flandered Macaronis.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me in. And yes, it is true. Everything is bigger in Texas. So don't forget to go to my Twitter page at Penn Flanders on Twitter. And please do not forget to go to tssfantasy.com. Check out all of our rankings, all of our merchandise, all of our little quips and things we got to say on there. It's a full website, fully comprehensive. We are ready to go.
He sold it better than Kamish.
I know, yeah. Man. It's like I have this list I got to go through, and now y'all screwed me up, Nick. Come on, bro. Listen, if you're watching us on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Why? Well, you want to watch us, first of all. But secondly, you automatically get entered to win a Justin Jefferson jersey signed by our friends from Pristine Auction. Justin's got it there ready to ship out. We're going to give that away July 4th, on 4th of July. How fun will that? How American can that be? Giving that away. Just hit subscribe. That's all you got to do. No big deal, right? Nick sold it. TSSFantasy.com. Hit it up. We got all our great stuff on there. The round table. We got our merchandise, as Nick mentioned. We do a show on your fantasy league. You want to take your league to the next level? Check that out as well on there. Also, we're getting close to that time. We get pick'em contests. We got all kind of cool stuff coming. Go to Underdog Fantasy. Hit the promo code TSS. Double that deposit up to $100. We're going to have contests all season long, we'll include some Gatorland tickets, including the money that's already in there. But we'll also throw on top some Gatorland tickets, Miami Dolphin tickets. It'll be all kind of fun stuff for you. Get involved today. Justin, why do we do that?
Because we are the show of the people.
It's the fantasy show of the people, indeed. All
the
right.
The people.
Listen, the doc also came with us all the way to Houston. We got a house call for Houston. Let's check it out.
Look, I'm a duck, not an escalator. Spock, give me a hand.
Dr. Akana. The doctor is in. I keep doing that. I don't know why. I keep forgetting about changing that. Nobody wants to see my face that close up. Although we are in Texas and everything is bigger in Texas, welcome to Houston. We are here. We are live and ready to look over this Texans team. Welcome to the studio, Dr. Jeffrey Miller.
Yes, great to be here in Texas with you.
Indeed. All right. Like I said, everything is bigger, maybe bigger expectations for them this season. David Mills, we'll talk about the quarterback position, shown some brilliance last year when basically looked like to be the forgotten man on this roster, but started to emerge last year a little bit in some games, although be a garbage time. And even during non-garbage time, David Mills showed up and played pretty decent. I was looking through his history, not a lot, but he hasn't played a lot either, so that would make a lot of sense. So, going to you, talking about raising the expectations for David Mills this year, what's his percent to the bench for this upcoming season?
His first season, his production in 13 games was one of the few positives last year for Houston, right? They weren't expecting much, and he did play in 13 games, but you got to say, you know, he also had three DNP coaches' decisions last year. So, you know, a lot of his upside that we're looking back on was potentially garbage time. Potentially they weren't expecting much out of him. I really don't have a whole lot to say about him, except why are you drafting him, right? Is he in anybody's top 20? So, like, if you draft him, great. He's probably going to play most of the season, but he's not going to score you a lot of points. So 10% to the bench, next man up.
To be fair, for the Houston Texans, there's kind of slim pickings in fantasy. So I had to go with some skilled position guys. David Mills would be that guy. However, how about a guy that's, you know, the quiet assassin in fantasy? Brandon Cooks, another guy that really, now we know everywhere he goes, he does great. He did great New England. He does great. Did great with the Rams. But for some reason, he just seems to always be the forgotten about man. And Houston, it was the same thing last year, but it made sense because we just talked about who was going to be quarterback. We didn't even know. Was it Tyrod Taylor? Was it David Mills? We weren't sure. But Brandon Cooks still put in a pretty decent campaign, getting up there in age, however, Doc. So, percent to the bench for Brandon Cooks.
And you expect him to get a lot of targets, right? There's like a talent black hole sitting there right now. So, he's getting the ball thrown to him. But if you look back, he's good to play in the vast majority of games, but he's going to miss a game or two. You look back over the last couple of seasons, he's good for 14, 15 games. He's not good for 17 games. So given that this segment is the percent of the bench, the percent he's going to miss at least one game with injury, we're 85% of the bench. He's going to be there, but probably briefly.
Ooh, man, 85%. That was big, but at least it's brief, so at least maybe you'll have two bye weeks for Brandon. But again, he showed up big and big-time moments last year along with David Mills. So who knows? We, you know, again, it's at the beginning of the year. Anything's possible and big expectations for Houston, at least better expectations from what they had last year. All right, Dr. Miller, we appreciate you. We got one more stop in the AFC South. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Doc gave 85% to the bench for Brandon Cooks. Oh, man. I said it might be brief, but, you know, again, can't predict injuries. That's just Doc's little thing he likes to do. Anyway, all right, Justin, were you able to get that loaded up? Because that was my bad. If not, we're just going to bring our guest in.
Yeah, bring him in. I still got to load it up real quick. Yeah, I'll get it up there real quick. Don't worry about it.
I screwed up. Just thought, you know, we like to do our little team intro, and I totally forgot to load it up for our guest tonight. So my bad on that. Totally slipped.
He said 60 seconds.
I did. During Dr. South's call, I'm texting Justin, yo, bro, can you do this in like 30 seconds? Like, can you load it up? All right, let's welcome in Matthew Briggs from, now you're from the Texans Battle Fan Podcast and the, I'm going to screw it all up. Let everyone know where you're from, Matt. My bad.
So you can find me on the AFC South Fan Battle, but also I talk Texans at the Texans Fan Battle Podcast as well.
Awesome. All right. Thank you, sir. I want to make sure I did.
It is a mouthful. It is a mouthful.
A lot of battling for sure.
A lot.
Robert, my friend, welcome into the studio. Where can we find all your great stuff? Where are you from, my friend?
I'm with Houston Sports Talk, the podcast. We're on YouTube as well, but been doing it for 11 years, over 1,000 episodes weekly. Ooh, and
awesome.
Just plenty of Texans as guests over the years as well. So this has been, we do everything. It's Astros and Rockets and Houston Cougars, but yeah, the Texans, we're usually doing post-game shows after games on Sunday. So yeah.
Nice. All right. It's going to be interesting to see what you got in Fantasy Feud Texans tonight. I can't wait to see that. You got all those episodes. We're going to test that knowledge tonight. Let's talk about the Texans outlook this season. Last year, of course, we know wasn't that great, 4-13, but third in the AFC South because, you know, the Jags are there. You know what the Jags are like. You guys know all about that. Started out 1-0, actually, speaking of the Jags last year, and they went on an 8-game losing streak, unfortunately. You know, you had some questions going into the season at quarterback. Would it be Tyrod Taylor be your starter? David Mills, like, you know, you heard me talking about him as he emerged. We all saw what he did last year towards the end of the season, so did well. You added in free agency Marlon Mack to beef up the running game, which, you know, that's not a bad grab. Marlon Mack has been that guy that everyone's talked about, like, could emerge. Now he's got his chance in Houston, so that could be key for you as well. You made some key offseason moves for the defense as well. So the defense last year did not play very well. You were 31st against the rush, 23rd against the pass. So had to make some upgrades there, which you did in free agency. Also in the draft as well, Derek Stingley being the first with the cornerback position, Jalen Petrie as well. Damian Pierce also, that's another good draft pick to beef up again the running game that wasn't all that great last year. And also the rookie receiver, Metchie as well. So in the offensively, 28th against the pass, or excuse me, 28th in passing yards, 32nd, just like I talked about in the rush. Not too good there. So my prediction this year for you guys, a little bit better than last year. 6-11 for you guys. Okay. All right. Thank you for that, Justin. Let's go back to. All right, that's my prediction. We're gonna go to Matt Surf. Let's go to you first. Give me your prediction and outlook for the Texans 2022 season.
Yeah, you said it. You know, we were at bottom of the rank, but you know, a lot of people didn't know who our starting quarterback was. So that did help us on the defense side. The defense was on the field 90% of the games. So that hurt our defense, because first half, defense looked good. In the second half, they got tired. They made some bonehead mistakes. We, like you said, 4-13, but David Coley cost us a lot of games. We should have won that New England game. We should have beat your Dolphins. We should, there's a lot of games that we should have won, but bad coaching fumbled us. So we got Lovie Smith, who I think was a great pickup, great defensive minded coach. So I think that is going to help us. Like you said, we had a great draft. Metchie is going to help us in offense. So is Pierce. We got AJ Cann, which a lot of people are sleeping on. He helped Robinson run the ball greatly. That was missing last year for us. So I say our ceiling is going to be 8 games and our floor is going to be 6 games. But I do believe the most underrated draft pick was the safety out of Baylor. I think he is the best tackler in college football. And if they put him like they did Tillman in Chicago, Peanut Tillman, play him everywhere, safety, slot, corner, he's just going to shut him down. So I see a great value out of him.
Matt feeling the Houston glow for sure. Robert, what say you, sir? What's your outlook for the Texans this season?
Well, I'm going to say 6-10. They're going to look a hell of a lot better on the field. You know, like you said, they got a real coach. Cully was not a real coach. Lovie Smith. It's amazing to me that it's taken him this long to get back into the NFL because, you know, he was incredible with the Bears with not a great quarterback at all. So just keep that in mind. But I'm going to throw something out at you that could be interesting. Fantasy people might want to look at this. Davis Mills, the quarterback, versus Joe Burrow in their rookie years, the Super Bowl quarterback last year. You know, this is Davis Mills' second year. Last year was Joe Burrow's second year. Burrow started 10 games his first year, threw 13 interceptions, or 13 touchdowns, I should say. Mills started 11, threw 16 touchdowns. Burrow, 5 interceptions. Mills, a little bit more, 11 interceptions, although one more game. And then Burrow, 65.3% of his passes for 2,688 yards. Mills completed 66.8% for 2,664 yards. Burrow, 10.2 yards per catch. Mills, 10.1 yards. Their numbers are what I'm saying were almost identical their rookie season. And I'm not saying he's Joe Burrow, but you might want to just keep an eye on that because it's pretty similar. And look, Davis Mills was the best quarterback coming out of his class out of high school. You know, you got to remember that this is not some scrub. He was injured and only played 14 games in college. You know, they eased him in last year. They started the year with Tyrod Taylor. So keep all of that in mind. And the offensive line is going to be way better because not only with the guard that was just mentioned a little bit earlier, but also you got to look at they just got a first-round pick in Kenyon Green, a bulldozer at guard, and they moved Titus Howard to tackle. He was miscast at guard the last year, which just blew everybody's minds that watched the team because the guy was a tackle coming out of college, a really good one, and he was a tackle his first year, and he looked like he was going to be a really good tackle. So the running game could be better. Offensively, there's a lot of things that could make this team better, not just those guys, but the running backs too.
Yeah, wow, indeed. Well, Nick, what do you say for the Houston Texans?
It don't look good. I'm going to go 5-12. I don't think the addition of Lovie Smith is going to be enough. Your defense is going to be on the field about the same time. You just don't have anybody. You got Brandon Cooks. That's it. You chose Davis Mills over Baker Mayfield. I mean, I'm not a Baker Mayfield fan, but you said no thanks, Baker. So I don't see any help for this team. They don't have any playmakers. Nobody wants to play for them. Everyone can't wait to leave. So I'm going to say 5-12.
Nick, what are you doing? This is our Houston celebration show. We bring our guests in. We don't just poop on the team. Like
I'm being horrible. Honest.
Like, I got you, but let's just have a little bit of like, you know, nobody wants to play. It's doom and gloom for the Houston Texans.
They got nice uniforms.
I'm optimistic on Houston. and Davis Mills, honestly, you know, I am kind of high on him. All right, Justin, let's hear your thoughts on Houston.
I'm going 6-11. I think that they do have some good players there. They have some, you know, young potential players. I still want to see what Nico Collins can do. I was big on him coming out of Michigan. He was a good tracker of the ball. He's got some good speed to him. He's a 6'2 guy, somebody you could use, you know, across the middle. You can use him as a deep threat if you want to use Brandon Cooks in the slot a little bit more. Mechie is a little up and down. He's had injury history. But, you know, at Alabama, he was a good wide receiver, and Alabama is known for dishing out a lot of good wide receivers the past couple drafts. So definitely somebody to look there. One guy I'm really looking at, especially in fantasy, is Brevin Jordan. I think
he has
some talent coming into it. He was a little bit fat going into last camp. They noted that. He slimmed down throughout the season, and he started to look really good. Davis Mills, I mean – you can't hate the guy. He came out of nowhere. I mean, he was in Stanford. He was a second-round pick. He didn't really come out of nowhere. But, you know, he came out of nowhere last year and actually had a good season. You know, they had my 49ers rolling in that second half. They beat the Chargers. One thing I'll say about Lovie Smith, he's going to push this defense, which this defense needs. They need to be pushed, and he's going to be the guy that's going to be getting the most out of whatever's there. So – when I look at this, I look at it, it's going to be a very progressive 6-11. Hopefully Lovie Smith continues to be their head coach, because I think they need somebody who's got a little bit more of a firm control, can really like talk to the boys and be like, hey, like we need to freaking get this thing going, and maybe sticks around for like 2-3 years so they can actually get something going and maybe get back to those glory years of the Andre Johnsons and the early Deshaun Watson years.
Yeah, or they were really good. Yeah, no, indeed. I mean, I forgot to mention the acquisition of Lovie Smith, and man, I cannot wait for Christmas time, because man, if that man don't look like Santa with that beard, man, I cannot wait. Definitely got to feature him for sure during Christmas time. All right, listen, speaking of Christmas time, looking at this schedule, I'm going to go to you, Robert, first. Give me a game on your schedule that you are really excited for.
Well, you got to be excited about the Chiefs, because Mahomes, and even without a Tyreek Hill, he's the most talented quarterback we've seen in maybe forever, as far as just the whole package worth of skills and stuff like that. Not saying he's the best, and I know there's Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning and all those guys, Joe Montana, you can name all the names, but he's so much fun to watch. The Chiefs offense is always a challenge. You like to see what the Texans can do against the better teams and against the better offenses. And, you know, the Texans defense this year, it's going to be better because Petrie, the safety, he's a really good draft choice. There's a lot of people that thought very highly of him. The Texans have always had a bunch of garbage at safety for the most part through their history. So to have a guy that was the highest drafted safety the Texans have ever picked in the draft, and somebody with some real potential and some real leadership and some real talent and some feel for the game with Lovie Smith behind him. And then Stingley, who's a cornerback that was, you're talking about the third pick in the draft, potentially the most talented cornerback in the draft. If you add somebody like those two guys, with Lovie Smith, you know, mixing more things in another year to, you know, do more of what he does. And this guy can coach defense as good as anybody in NFL history. So, yeah, you could say, well, their defense doesn't look a whole lot more. No, it does look a whole lot more talented than it did. And Lovie Smith is a dang good coach and did a fantastic job considering how much that defense was on the field last year, because the offense sucked. And it wasn't necessarily Davis Mills' fault, the offensive line, the running game. There was other issues. But, no, there's a very good chance that a lot of this team can look a lot better. And they might not have the wins to show for it, but they're going to look better in the losses, and they're going to look better from a fantasy perspective for sure, because I think there's more things that they can do on offense if they're going to be on the field more often.
Yeah, indeed. He's sticking that right to you, Nick. All right, Matt, to you, sir. Give me a game on the schedule.
Well, it depends on the outcome of Deshaun Watson. If Watson gets to play, you have to say it's the Cleveland Browns game at Houston. He's coming back to enemy territory. What he did to Frenchie or lefties, the Philly T-Stop left a lot of bad taste in people's mouth. So I would say that one. But I'm going to say Philadelphia, the Thursday night game. It's a primetime game. Smith and Brown as the receivers over there. So it's going to be a real good matchup. But I have to say, on the offensive side, a lot of people are forgetting that Rams game last year. Davis Mills had somebody call play calls other than Tim Kelly, and that's Pep Hellenson. A lot of people forget about Pep Hellenson. He made Andrew Luck, he made Justin Herbert, and look what he did. Look what he did with Mills the last half of the season. Made him look like a stud. So he has a whole year with him. A new system. West Coast offense, instead of let's hold on to the ball for 7 seconds and see what happens like Tim Kelly does. So it's going to be a whole different ball game. So I'm going to say to Philadelphia, especially if they get the run game with Pierce and Matt going, it's going to be a great 1-2 punch.
All right. Yeah. So just like Robert, Matt, sticking it right back to you, Nick, tell me the favorite game on the schedule, calling out your Philly Eagles.
I'm not worried about them. It's got to be week one. It's got to be week one, because right now the Colts and the Titans are the class of the division. So you want to see how you match up. How good are you? So you want to be able to come out, punch them in the mouth right from jump, and then see if you can hold it. See if your offensive line can block for your backs. You got Damian Pierce, who's going to be a real good running back. I think he's I think he's your number one back right now. As I'm looking on the depth chart, they got Marlon Mack number two, yeah, and then of course you got to see what Cooks and Davis, what they've been doing in the offseason. So let's see what they got. Now, I would love to be wrong. I would love to see the Texans have a real good season, but as it stands right now, I think they're going to be third again. You got to thank your lucky stars for Jacksonville.
All right, you've already given your prediction, bro. You're spiking the football at this point.
Can I say something to Nick real quick?
Sure.
So just bring you know how many home games the Colts have won in the last 10 years, right?
No, you can tell me.
They have not won a week one game since 2011. That's including the Jacksonville Jaguars 2 years ago. Don't be surprised if Indianapolis takes the L home.
All right. If you're in a football pool, you got definitely take heed of that. All right, Justin, real quick, give me a good game, and I don't need your whole analysis like Nick, please.
All right. I'll skip the Brandon Cooks and the Davis Mills shitting on. I'll get straight to the point. Battle of Texas, Dallas. I think that's going to be a great game. I mean, I'm always down for Dallas getting beat. So I hope you guys win that game. I really do. I'm putting
Houston for that game. Here.
Let's go. Another one would be week three against the Bears. Lovie Smith returns home to, pick on the Bears. I mean, the Bears are, at this point, a low-level team. So, go pick up a W for Lovie.
You guys,
Dallas is a good call, but it'll be more of a fight in the parking lot sometimes with that game than it will be on the field. If you know your Texans Cowboys history, they don't like each other, the fan bases, at all.
Well, that's sad to hear. We're all in the same state, guys. Can't we just get along? I mean, come on. Listen, you guys missed the best game. I just mentioned it. Christmas Eve, Lovie Smith, Santa's coming to town. And you're playing the Titans. I mean, pretty big matchup down the stretch. Love that game for you guys. Can't wait to see it. And like I said, Lovie Smith coming to town indeed. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. Fantasy Feud Texan style. We'll be right back.
Hayden, we love fantasy football.
We do?
It's a fantastic game, yet still not perfect. Like, I hate leaving high-scoring players on my bench.
The worst, man.
In fact, hate it even more when I put injured players and they're in my starting lineup.
Can't have that.
And I need a life. The waivers, the trades, every single week, it grinds on me. So we at Underdog Fantasy want to make fantasy football easier for everyone out there. It's called Best Ball, and we set your optimal lineup for you each and every week. You can do it all year long. We have drafts going all the way from February to week one of the NFL season. What are you waiting for? Use our awesome early sign-up offer to get a little extra something on that first deposit and that first time you play on Underdog Fantasy.
See you put them up, reach the skies, touch the stars up above, cause it's one time for the underdog, one time for the underdog.
All right, for those that don't know, Fantasy Feuds, we're basically like Family Feud. I'm gonna ask the question. Basically, you two just shout out the answer when you know it. Whoever gets it gets control of the round. You have three strikes to close it out. If you don't, then the other guy gets the chance to steal. All right, it's time to play the feud. Brad?
Justin Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson. It's going to be a long game.
Not going to be a long game tonight because we got Houston experts in the house, and this is Houston. All right, top five answers on the board, gentlemen. Here's the question. Give me the top five passing TD leaders all time in Texas history.
Matt Schaub.
Matt, he's numero uno on this list, 124. What else you got?
Let's go Sage Rosenfels.
Sage Rosenfels from America's team. You know you got. Number four on this list with 24.
Let's go Tom Savage.
Tom, not so savage with passing TV.
All right. Deshaun Watson, of course.
Deshaun Watson, of course. Oops, I get the fat fingers again. Here we go with this. It's this new computer, man. Every time I got this fat finger thing where I slide the thing up, my bad.
Yeah, blame it on the computer.
Yeah, I know. It's that. All right, 104. He's number two on this list. You got number three and number five. You got two strikes remaining.
Less talented Carr brother. Let's do David Carr.
David Carr, sack monster.
All right, let's do Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler.
Osweiler.
Okay.
One strike remaining. Number five.
TJ Yates.
TJ Yates.
Oh, hell no.
Robert, you got a chance to steal. Do you know number five on this list?
Oh, brother. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ryan.
Ooh, good one.
The beard. Number five on this list, Brian Hoyer. He has 19.
I was in the vicinity.
Close. Come on. It was close. All right.
You know what's crazy, though? Davis Mills is probably either six or seven. He only played one season.
He's getting up. He is definitely, I think he's six on this list. He's definitely getting up there. It's ironic you say that. All right, let's move on to question number two. Matt, you're up 1-0. Give me top five answers on the board, the top five rushing yard leaders of all time.
Arian Foster.
Number uno on this list, 6,472. Who else you got?
I don't know what name you use, but Dominic Davis or Dominic Williams.
Dominic Williams is what they.
I got you, Coop.
Thank you. Correct on there, 3,195.
Let's go Ben Tate.
Ben Tate. Number five on this list with 1,992. You're missing three and four.
Let's go with Ron Big Man Train Dane.
Ron Dane. I forgot he was a Texan. I forgot. I just remember him in the Giants era.
Amon Green.
We got one strike left. You got three and four on this list. I think one of them's kind of obvious.
Yeah, I would say so.
Let's do Alfred Blue.
Ooh, the black. All right, one strike, and all you got left is number three on this list. Alfred Blue is number four, 2,407.
You're my boy, Blue. You're my boy.
Steve Slayton.
You better sit back up in that chair, Justin. You got an X to hit.
Oh, yeah. Hold on 1 second. I got to go to the next one. Let's see.
I have never heard someone say so many wrong things, one after the other, consecutively in a row.
Robert, your chance to steal, my friend. Number three on this list.
Oh, it's a lot of garbage years of rushers, but Lamar Miller.
Robert steals it. It's Lamar Miller, 2,934 on this
I
list.
I totally forgot about Lamar.
Let's go to question three. We're all tied up. Give me top five answers on the board. top receiving touchdown leaders in Texas?
Andre Johnson.
Andre Johnson.
DeAndre. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You're good. See, he's number 164 on this list.
DeAndre Hopkins, of course.
Of course, DeAndre Hopkins. Number 54, or sorry, number 2 and 54 touchdown, not number 54. All right, you got 3, 4, and 5 on this one.
Owen Daniels.
Owen Daniels, the big tight end.
He was a good one.
He was. That was that Matt Schaub era. 20. He's
very,
number
very underrated.
Number 3 on this list with 29 TDs. All right, you got number 4 and 5 remaining.
Let's do Kevin Walter.
Kevin Walter. On fire right now. He's number 5 on this list with 24. And actually, the number 4 is tied with him with the same amount of TDs.
CJ Fedorowicz, I think that's how you say his name.
I mean, when you can't pronounce the last name, you're right. In trouble.
Jacoby Jones.
Jacoby Jones.
Oof.
Oh man.
Such an underrated player.
Do Brad Miller.
Oh, Brad Miller.
The Sacramento Kings Center?
Stop it. Get some help.
Oh, man, Robert, I know that you probably know this one because he's going to kill himself when he doesn't get it. Do you have a guess at number, well, tied for number 4 on this list?
Oh, man. I'm going to say, is it Brandon Cooks? Could he already be there?
It is not Brandon Cooks. It is Will Fuller.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Even though he was injured half the time when he was.
We didn't see him very often, so it's hard to – and he ran so fast, it's hard to remember that he was here. Like, he just was like a ghost most of the time.
Indeed. All right, Matt, you got the lead 2-1. We're going to question number 4. If you win this, you take the game. Here we go. Top 5 answers on the board. Give me the top 5 teams – that you have the best winning percentage against.
Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs. Robert?
Oh, it's my turn. Jags. I'll say the Jaguars.
The Jacksonville Jaguars. They are on this list. They are number 5. You are 27-13 all time against the Jags, 675% winning percentage. You got control, sir. What else you got?
Oh, man. It's hard to remember much of the success anymore. But
you got to go back to the Andre Johnson years.
Let me go with the Cleveland Browns.
The Cleveland Browns. Fortunately, not on this list. Don't worry. This is one that stumps all the guests, so don't worry. You're in good hands. All right, you got Jags number 5, and you got 2 strikes remaining.
Oh, man. Let me think here. The Jets.
The J-E-T-S. Nope. Not on that one, my friend. Now you got 1 strike remaining. Only answer right now you got are the Jacksonville Jaguars. Number 5.
I don't think we've done that bad against the Titans. I'm going to say the Titans.
The Tennessee Titans.
No.
All right.
What was that?
It's a cat that says, no. All right. Matt, you have a chance to steal. You got a lot of meat on this bone. 1 through 4. Give me a guess.
They suck. I guess I got wrong. No. They They suck so long, I gotta go with the Detroit Lions.
The Detroit Lions. That's like the safe pick, isn't it? The Detroit Lions, you guys are 4-1. They are number 2 on this list. You guys, they're 800. Like, basically 1 through 4 are all tied. So, number 1 on this list, the Bears, 4-1. Wow. The Lions, 4-1. The Miami Dolphins are number 3. I'm about to throw this book. you guys are 8-2 against the Dolphins. Wow, I can't even believe it. The Bucks, 4-1. Those are your list. Now, since Matt already won, I'll just read through the next question so you guys have this knowledge. These are the teams you have the top losing percentage against. The Eagles, you guys are 0-5 against the Eagles. You talked about that game earlier. You better get it because you need it. The Vikings, you are also 0-5 against them. The Ravens, 2-9 against the Ravens. And the rest are all tied at number 4. The Seahawks, 49ers, Giants, Rams, and Packers, you are 1-4 against. So if you don't know, now you know. Matt, congratulations, my friend. You are tonight's winner. And Robert, as tradition on our show, sir, my apologies, but you, sir, get the Dumbass of the Week Award.
Dumbass. Thank you. Come to Dumbass. Play kind in time. Stupid.
So you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Great job on the Houston Texans trivia. Good job indeed. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about individual performances for fantasy this season.
3B's Honey Farm, a veteran-owned and family-operated company located in beautiful St. Cloud, Florida. Our honey is raw, unfiltered, and chemical-free. That means you get all the healthy benefits of honey, plus pristine quality every time. We also have a variety of products, like handmade soaps, body scrubs, lip balms, lotions, and handcrafted wooden products for the home. Buzz on over to our website, 3bshoneyfarm.com, to place your order today. Any order over $55 ships free in the United States. Follow us on social media and watch out for our subscriber specials. 3B's Honey Farm, where honey is where the heart is.
Honey. You like that little heart at the end. Your boy's getting good at the graphics. All right, enough about that. We got rankings to hit up. Let's talk about the Texans. So, talking about fantasy, we talked about David Mills, talked about him a lot tonight. He was 29th in 2021, 2,664 yards. You mentioned his touchdowns earlier and his interceptions in 11 games, not too shabby, but went 2-9 as a starting QB. So, this year, I got him around the same area. I'm just, the weapons for me are still a question mark for me with the Texans, and the line's a little bit of a question mark for me as well. So that's kind of where I see David Mills as one of those, you know, again, we talked about best ball, one of those type guys that maybe he's going to have some good games. You talked about the Jags. That's going to be 2 games right there. You can guarantee Mills is going to do well. And if it's defense isn't what we're expecting. Now, I know we talked about Lovie Smith being the defensive guru, but sometimes you just can't make things happen no matter what kind of coach you are. So that if the defense improves, great. But if it's still not very good, that means David Mills on the field a lot throwing to get into games. So fantasy perspective could be a decent play and a dark horse QB going forward. Justin, what do you say, my friend?
I got him at QB 28. He could move up to QB 26 where Tua is because I might like him a little bit more. but all seriousness, I mean, I think, you know, he's got some weapons around him. We've seen quarterbacks be good on bad teams before. I think that he has a chance to really become the franchise type of quarterback, just like Jalen Hurts had a chance last year and earned himself an extra year. All he's got to do is just keep doing what he's been doing. I mean, you said 2-9. That's a shit record, but at the end of the day, you know, if you're going out there, you're putting your effort out there, and you've got a positive touchdown to interception ratio, you're doing something right. And, you know, they could use those picks to build around him. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think that Davis Mills has the chance to be in that, you know, 24 to 28 range, kind of where people are contemplating Daniel Jones, where I'm contemplating Tua, you know, Carson Wentz, all those guys. He kind of sticks out as somebody who you could take as a QB2 or maybe a QB3 and be just fine during the season.
You just got to keep bringing up Tua, don't you? And I'm sorry, I keep calling him David. It's Davis. My bad. I think someone should have corrected me at some point. I think I keep calling this guy David. My bad on that. All right, Nick, my friend, what do you got for I don't know. They'll tell me where he's at now. Where do you think he'll be at during the season?
I think he could be – if he plays well, he could be 25. I think because I got some quarterbacks in there that he could surpass. He's going to have a full year under his belt. He's going to have OTAs. He's got time to gel with his line and his receivers. Last year, what he did was, with a short amount of time, he had 2,600 yards. So if you just extrapolate those numbers outward, he could probably throw for about 3,800 yards. So look for those. And again, if the defense is on the field like we're all going to predict, they're going to be in garbage time. So he's going to be throwing a lot. So look for those numbers to expand greatly, and hopefully he'll go up to in the mid-20s.
Well, that's not what Matt thinks. You said we all. I don't think Matt thinks that. All right, what do you think, Matt? Where do you have Davis Mills at this year?
Have him at now, or where he
might be? Yeah, sure.
I'm gonna say he's gonna be 23, and the only reason why is because he's a sophomore, and we all know that there's a wall that sophomores hit. But I still think we're gonna get good predictions out of him. So I 23, and also I like last year, the defense was good in the first half, suck in the second half. So hopefully they don't suck, period. And, you know, he's not on the field constantly. And now he has a run game. So that it ain't no Mr. 100-year-old Rex Burkhead run the ball.
That's the hope of all fans.
He was your leading rusher last season at 427.
Trust that's me, Nick, I know that.
That's what all football fans is, that their teams don't suck. All right, Robert, where do you think we're at? Are we right on point, or are we undercutting him?
I think everybody's in the area. The thing with Davis Mills this year is, you know, if the offensive line improves quite a bit, which I think they will, it's going to make a huge difference, because, you know, he's not going to be stuck with these third and longs like he had a lot last year. And he wasn't the guy that was going to get those third and longs at this point in his career. And I still think in year two, it's going to be a little bit more difficult. But I think you also have to keep an eye if Mechie is healthy. The receiver that they picked up, who was a slot receiver, he didn't have a guy to really go as an outlet guy outside of Brandon Cooks. Whenever there was an emergency last year, all he had was Brandon Cooks. If Mechie is there and they have a real slot wide receiver and a real outlet for him when he gets in trouble, that moves the sticks. It gives him a lot more ability to pick up a lot more yardage. And the big thing is it gives him ability to get touchdowns, which, you know, that's where you get your real points at.
Indeed, yeah.
Here's an example of how Texans fans are hopeful of Davis Mills. I'm in a dynasty league in fantasy, and a Texan fan traded me Joe Burrow straight up for Davis Mills. That's how.
No, we didn't.
This is
put me in that league.
This is the second time. It needs to be noted. This is the second time tonight there's been a Joe Burrow Davis Mills comparison. Wow, this
granted, he did have Josh Allen as his starting quarterback, but he did trade Joe Burrow for Davis Mills.
Very interesting. Let's go on to the running back position. Marlon Mack right now, from what I read, was projected as their starter So I have him right now 48 ranked currently. We talked about the rookie, Damian Pierce being picked up. We'll see what emerges from there. But I, you know, again, in Florida, he was used more of a change of pace back. So I'm not sure, you know, if he's going to transition right away as a workhorse number one type back. You talked about Rex Burkhead still on the team. Don't forget last year in week, I think it was week 16, 149 yards, two TDs, two catches. The old man still got it. Justin, what do you think of this Texans backfield?
I don't want any part of it.
That is the correct answer.
Ding, ding, ding. You are the winner tonight.
But to be fair, if I'm in a dynasty league, I'll take Damian Pierce. I liked his tape coming out of college. He was a big bruising back out of Florida. You know, limited snaps at Florida, but I don't really care when you get to the next level. That just means you got more tread on the tire for the real games. Sir. So I'll take him. He reminded me a lot of what Javonte Williams was, just a little bit bigger. I also want to throw out this real quick because I looked it up. Davis Mills had two stretches last year where he was week 3 to week 8 where he was starting, and then week 13 to week 18. Week 13, week 18, he was QB 11, and he was averaging 16 points a game. And then obviously week 3 to week 8, he was actually QB 29 where he was averaging 11 points a game. So you can see as the season went on, he just got that much better.
Yeah, indeed. Justin, that would have been great when we talked about Davis Mills. Nick, what do you think about the running back?
I'm going to be kind. It's going to be a lot what Justin said. If you got to stream one, pick them up. But I wouldn't draft any of their running backs. I don't think any of them are quality starters. Like you may say, Marlon Mack. If you're going to – he might be a sleeper, but more or less he's going to be a streamer. So I'm not really looking for big things. As far as Damian Pierce goes, the most rushing yards he's had, now Justin said that he was a change of pace back. The most rushing yards he had was last season. He was like 500 and change out of Florida. So look for more of the same for him. And of course, Burkhead's got to have his one bright spot, and then you won't hear from him again.
So, quick note about Damian Pierce before we move on, and I say it in the receiver's end. He scored on once every 7 attempts, which is incredible.
That is actually a very cool stat indeed. But where were those attempts made, I guess, would be the question. Is there a goal line or, you know, because then that.
Well, yeah. I mean, most likely it was. Yeah, but
still. All right, Lowry, you sound like you agreed with us. We're still on point with that, with the Texans backfield?
Oh, yeah. I feel like Pierce, if you're going to take a flyer on somebody, or at least like as the year goes along, if you have to go onto the waiver wire, you want to keep an eye on Pierce because, you know, if you were to talk to the draft experts, they were all incredible. That's their favorite pick by the Texans of the whole draft. They love that pick. They think Pierce can really turn into something. The running backs are typically the position where you steal guys in the middle of the late rounds. And the Texans, this is a Caserio draft choice that he wants to do well. And this team is basically like he's a second coach out there because he's very involved in things. And the fact that he was, this is his draft where, you know, he picked this guy, he wants him to succeed. So I think Pierce, with any sort of success, they're going to put him out there more and more. And, you know, you said it, the explosive plays, once out of every 7 times he touched the football. And, you know, you want those guys in the NFL that don't have a lot of tread on the tire. We've learned that over and over again. When they have tread on the tire in college, they're not as good in the pros.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, Joe Burrow had the same stats.
Back to another Joe Burrow reference. No, you're exactly right. Not also you want the guys with a lot of tread, but guys who can score touchdowns, to your point. All right, Matt, what do you think? You got anyone in that Texans backfield? You mentioned the rookie earlier. What do you think?
I'm kind of like you guys. I wouldn't go draft anybody, but on the waiver, like Robert said earlier, we got Green. We got Cam from Jacksonville. Brett fits perfect in the West Coast scheme, like Pep Hamilton run. So I think the run game is going to improve 4 times better than it did last year. If you are going to pick a Texan running back, I would pick Pierce for this reason. He is a hell of a catch in the backfield. He is very good with his hands. So if you need a all-purpose running back, that's your man.
So a PPR, maybe dark horse stash indeed. All right, let's go to the receivers. Obviously, Brandon Cooks, the big dog in the house. Number 20th in 2021. Excuse me, I'm getting all these 20s out. This year, I got him 14th. I do like Davis Mills to improve a bit. I like this offense to improve a bit, which means Brandon Cook's stats are going to improve a little bit. So I like him to move up a bit into that 14 range. Again, I mentioned earlier with the doc, always seems to be that forgotten about guy in fantasy that really puts up big points. John Mechie, you guys talked about him. You talked about him being ready, having the offseason knee surgery. Again, doing my research late, not asking the doctor about him. That would have been smart. So my bad on that. Nico Collins also talked about him. He was 91 last year in 14 games, but some good promise for him as well. Justin, my friend, talk to me about the Texans receivers.
The only one I want is Brandon Cooks. I'll take him at wide receiver 24 right now. It's only because, on a bad offense, your wide receiver one is practically a wide receiver two in fantasy eyes. Everywhere he's gone, he hits 1,000 yards, and then the touchdowns are just extra. It's a little extra money for him. I think, he's the best option they've got. If I have a deep league, I'll pile on Nico Collins and John Mechie, but it has to be a real deep league for those two. Like I said, I think Nico Collins still has potential, but he still has to show something on the field. He wasn't highly productive in college either, but he did have those standalone games where he would have big yards, big chunk plays. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Cooks, and the other guys can surprise me on the waiver wire.
Nick, what say you, sir?
Right now I have him at 14, but as I'm looking, I can slide him down to 16 because, I'm not sold on Davis Mills, and I don't know what that offensive line is going to be. Now, this is in PPR, so I'm going to hold my other opinions to let the guests speak, but I would hold him at 16.
All right, Matt, what do you say? You think we're in the right spots?
I say top 10. Brandon Cook is going to be top 10. He has the same numbers as Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill in career. So, he is that type of receiver. And plus, last year he was right, what did you say, 20th last year? And yep, that was two different quarterbacks. Now he practiced with one quarterback. We got Tunzel and Howard back, who are both great left tackles. So, we had 11 sacks less than we did with Deshaun Watson. So that's just going to improve. So I think Cooks is going to, and like you said earlier, Cooks is his main option. So I think he's going to eat. And if Nico Collins stays healthy, he had a lot of injury problems. He missed I want to say 4 or 5 games last year. If he stays healthy, he can be that guy. But I think Mechie is going to be the dark horse of the receivers, especially the rookie class. Put him in that slot with that speed. It's just recipe for destruction.
Well, you mentioned two quarterbacks also missed a game as well. So definitely if he stays healthy and stays in there, could be top 10. You might be right. Robert, what do you say?
Yeah, I think it's closer to 14 and 16 than it would be to 10. But the key thing with Davis Mills that I think a lot of people don't know, unless you watch the Texans, which nobody did unless you were a Texans fan, and there's not many of those left around Houston. So, but the key is Davis Mills is a very, very good deep passer, very accurate deep passer. And if he gets more time this year, and we think the running game is going to be better, we think the offensive line, you can actually run play action, and maybe they might think for a millisecond that we're actually going to run the football and it's a real deal, then he can go deep. And that opens things up for Brandon Cooks. You give him a little bit more time. Maybe he gets a little bit more space between him and the cornerback. So if there could be a surprise, it's Brandon Cooks, because the fact that he got 1,000 yards last year, the 1,000 yards with that garbage offense last year, and with the rookie quarterback and with two different quarterbacks, it's unbelievable. And you have to have major respect. Brandon Cooks is one of the most underrated guys in the entire NFL, because to do what he's done with so many different teams and so many different quarterbacks is amazing.
Yeah, indeed. It's like him and Kirk Cousins should just have their own Rodney Dangerfield type team. No respect. And they really exactly. do put up the stats. All right, Justin, this is your shine here, because you mentioned this guy earlier. Talk about the tight end to close it out. Brevin Jordan, last year, number 44, and that was in 8 games. But it looked like him and Jordan Akins, if it is, he was 63, but the stats were almost the same. So now it looks like, though, Brevin Jordan all by himself now as the main guy, expecting big things. What say you?
I got him at tight end 26. I'm not expecting a major year, but I am expecting a respectable year that'll jump into something bigger. Hyper athletic. If he keeps his weight down, he'll be just fine. For me, I look at him as somebody that I would take as, you know, a flyer in a best ball league. If, you know, last round's coming around, Brevin Jordan's on the board, I'll take him because I think he's going to have, you know, a week or two where he has 100 yards and a touchdown. I think he can definitely have a week where he has 2 touchdowns. You know, Davis Mills would be very smart to target him in the red zone when they get down there. So, you know, as of right now, he's tight end 26, but definitely, you know, that's something that I can move him up or move him up a little bit, maybe to tight end 20.
Well, we have our big sleeper show. That might be somebody, Justin might be letting us, we'll be talking about in the tight end position. Nick, do you, what do you say about, what do you think?
I got him at 31 right now. He's a home run or a strikeout. So, you know, his best position on the field is 5 yards and in. So if he can get them touchdowns, he'll be good. But otherwise, you don't really see much of him. But as Justin says, Davis Mills has got to target him. He's very good down the goal line. He's probably their number one target. He's big-bodied. He can move people out of the way. Just jump up and get it.
Robert, what do you say?
He caught a couple of touchdowns last year. He looked like somebody with real potential, and this Texans offense badly needs somebody for Davis Mills to outlet the ball when he's in trouble, and you'd need somebody at the goal line because as good as Brandon Cooks is, you know, he's not a big, tall guy. He's not a lanky guy. He's not going to give you that near the goal line. So, you know, Brevin Jordan makes a whole lot of sense, you know, as somebody that could rack up some touchdowns if they decide that they're going to go with him and the main guy. The problem is with the Texans, you just don't know what's going to happen because they just keep going through tight ends. It's like a car wash. There's somebody new every year and they go through it. And it's like, well, he's looking all right, but then he flames out. So who knows? But, you know, this is the guy that of all the Texans tight ends that you would think might finally show you something, maybe flash you something. And, you know, we're hoping with Brevin Jordan, but man, I wouldn't want to draft the Texans tight end in a fantasy league.
The rebirth of Owen Daniels, maybe. Who knows? Matt, what say you? You like Brevin Jordan this year?
Not to draft in the super in a wire. Yes. Pick him up. Like Robert said, he was great in the end zone. To me, like he also said, not a lot of people watched the Texans game, but if you did, you see those catches remind you of Antonio Gates, the way he caught the ball. So he's a real good red zone threat. Last year, you had Farrell Brown and Jordan Akins. Both of them are gone. So he's the main target. And again, Pep Hamilton's West Coast offense is tight end friendly, especially for a catching room tight end. So I think he's going to have a good year if he stays healthy.
Boy, if you're a Houston Texan fan tonight, you are feeling the glow. I mean, you're talking Brevin Jordan, Antonio Gates. We're talking Davis Mills, Joe Burrow. I mean, the Texans,
yes, sir.
Big expectations this year. Robert, Matt, appreciate you guys coming in. Robert, let's start with you. Let everyone know where they can subscribe and find all your great stuff at, my friend.
Houston Sports Talk, the podcast, everywhere you find a podcast, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, Google, pretty much anywhere you look, we're out there. And we also have a YouTube channel. You can just look under my name, Robert Land, and you'll find some of our content up on there as well. I'm putting out some classic stuff every single day on the YouTube channel, but it's HoustonSportsTalk.net is the website. And hope people find the podcast and enjoy it and give us some feedback. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, go on, hit subscribe, especially you're a Houston fan. It's all things Houston for my friend Robert. That was great. Thanks for coming on tonight. Matt, let everyone know where they can find all your great stuff, my friend.
Yeah, you can find all streaming services, the Texan Fan Battle Podcast and the AFC South Fan Battle Podcast. We got a YouTube channel, Texas Fan Battle on Twitter the same way. We have great guests. We have Lil Kiki, Lil Flip coming on, and also Paul Wall. So we bring more than just football. We bring culture. So make sure you check us out and find me at A1 Day One Texans on Twitter and my co-host Fifth Ward Crenshaw. So it's great stuff. We love talking Texans and hating on Deshaun Watson. So check us out.
I'm sure lots of Texans fans will enjoy hating on Deshaun for sure. Go check out my boy Matt, all his great stuff. They got a great podcast. This is the second time Matt's actually come on. He was with us last summer. Poor Fred's not here. He was trashing the AFC South so much. I found a podcast that was about the AFC South. I had to bring him on. I had to see what Fred had to say about the AFC South. He's always trashing them anyway. But big things coming up, I think, for the AFC South this year. At least they're better than last year. That's what we'll at least say.
Hey, last year, you brought up last year, we had a bet with Freddie. I want to make a bet with Nick. Are you up to it, Nick?
Oh.
Right. Sure, what is it?
So I'm going to that game against the Philadelphia. I bet you $50 to Toys for Tots that the Texans win. So if the Texans win, you pay $50 to Toys for Tots.
Let's go 100.
Bet. Sounds great. I'm down. That's even better.
Nick is feeling it. He's like, yeah, let's go 100. I'll double it.
It's for the kids.
It's for the kids.
Indeed. All right. That's what we talked about all night. Hey, it's for the kids. Lovie Smith, Christmas. I mean, I can't get off that. It's just the greatness. All right, guys. Appreciate you guys coming in. This has been a lot of fun. I was kind of was a little like, you know, anxious before we started. Like, man, it's Houston Tech. But listen, it's been great. We got a lot of great stuff. Some good potential fantasy stuff too, guys. So make sure you watch out this year. We appreciate you guys, and we are out.
We're on a mission.
We're on a mission.
We're on a mission.